Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Beauty Talk. Thank you guys for joining us tonight. We were having some difficulties getting on the line here and staying on the line. It kept kicking me out, but nonetheless, we are here, and we are happy to be on the line with you guys tonight for today, Sunday, March 19th. Thank you for joining us for our Beauty Talk Beauty News segment, and we're going to play a little introductory music, and then we'll be right back with our beauty news. Again, welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tennell, for today, Sunday, March 19th. Again, as I spoke before, we are having our Beauty Talk Beauty News podcast tonight, and we've got a lot of beauty news for you, so I want my sister to take herself off of mute, and I'm going to turn you over to Denise, who's going to start us off with our beauty news. Okay, I can't hear her, so let's see. Are we still having problems here? We may still be having problems. I can't hear her. Let's see. Are you on mute still? All right, you guys, just work with us a little bit tonight. I'm trying to get her on the line. She's on the line. We just can't hear her. So I'll just start off tonight with a beauty news, a little bit of beauty news. And as always, I bring to you guys the Pro Beauty Report. One of the things, and we haven't talked about this in a few years. They introduced it a couple years ago. It is the I Am movement from PBA. It's I am a professional. I am licensed. And I don't know if you've seen on social media the I am licensed banner, but I'm encouraging everyone who is a professional, beauty professional, to join the PBA I am licensed movement. And let me just tell you a little bit about that. Well, this is one of the things that the I Am Licensed movement does, and that is it shows everyone around the world that you have completed hundreds of hours of schooling, you've learned proper techniques and the best practices in your profession, you have graduated from a cosmetology program, you've successfully passed whatever state you're from, you've successfully passed their state board examination, and then you have learned practice proper sanitation procedures to minimize the threat of viral and bacterial infections. Oh, my God, so important. Also, you care about the industry and the safety of your clients. So, so important. And I know there may be some unlicensed professionals out there who, you know, may totally disagree, and they would say that they to care about proper sanitation practices and procedures, as well as caring about the industry and safety of their clients. But I do honestly believe that if you really cared, you would go as far as becoming licensed to show your clients how far you've gone, to show how much you care. So joining the movement, PBA wants you to be proud of your profession. They want you to join the I Am Licensed, I Am a Professional movement, and you can go to their website, which is probeauty.org, to fill out a form and complete the form. And if you are not a PBA member at the time that you complete their online form, they will make you a e-member of PBA. So that means you would have an account set up online. You wouldn't be a full member, but you would be an e-member of PBA if you join the I Am movement. And, again, it's the I Am a Professional, I Am Licensed movement. Okay, and that's number one from PBA. And then also, let me give you a couple of dates. You can save the date for July 8th through 11th. It's Pro Beauty Week, and, of course, that's held in Las Vegas, Nevada every year. The Pro Beauty Week, and during Pro Beauty Week on July 9th, you have the NAHA Awards, and the NAHA is the North American Hairstyling Awards, and they award hairstylists, makeup artists, I believe nail techs may be a part of that some of the categories, but they award those professionals in various categories during Pro Beauty Week. So again, NAHA Awards announcement will be July 9th in Las Vegas, and the 2017 entry process for the NAHA Awards is now closed, but make sure you stay tuned to Facebook on May 10th at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. The finalists will be announced, so your NAHA Award finalists will be announced on Facebook, on the NAHA Facebook page. Again, that's May 10th at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Okay, and then also during Pro Beauty Week, we have the PBA Beacon Awards and Announcement. So they're no longer accepting entries for the 2007 Beacon Awards, okay, but there also will be an announcement on Facebook on March 27th, so that'll be coming up sooner than the NAHA announcement, but that's March 27th on the PBA Facebook page, and they will announce winners and honorable mentions for the PBA Beacon Awards, okay, and so the Professional Beauty Association Beacon Program is a renowned program designed to encourage and inspire beauty industry students to effectively prepare for successful careers consisting of two elements. One, a competition open to all qualifying students and and a live educational event in Las Vegas for the top scoring entrants. Beacon students gain the tools and confidence they need to jumpstart their careers. Okay, so by submitting an application to the Beacon competition, 100 winners and 200 honorable mentions will be chosen to attend PBA Beauty Week with specialized student education in Las Vegas. How great is that? Oh, my goodness. A beauty professional student will be able to take advantage of such great resources, you know, and the first step is just actually applying. Again, they're no longer accepting applicants, so for those who have applied, if you become a competitor, you have so much access to continuing education and career networking. So that's something that you definitely want to take part of if you have been chosen. Again, there will be 100 winners, 200 honorable mentions. And that's the PBA Beacon program. Okay. And what else do we have here from PBA? Oh, something very important for those who are members. Also, if you are a student member, you also may participate. Okay, so PBA is offering to its PBA members a special professional liability insurance offer to get insurance. It's from Beauty Insurance Plus, as well as PBA, they have joined together to offer affordable insurance options for PBA members. Now, Beauty Insurance Plus is the leading professional and student liability insurance provider in the industry. Okay, again, that's Beauty Insurance Plus. Let me tell you what they're offering students. For students, they are offering professional, general, and product liability insurance, $2 million per occurrence, $3 million individual annual aggregate, $2 million product aggregate. Plus, you get rental damage insurance for $100,000, but you must sign up prior to graduation, okay? And it will only cost you $25 per year. That is like a steal. $25 per year for students. Okay. And then for professionals, you get professional, general, and product liability insurance, $2 million per occurrence, $3 million individual annual aggregate, $2 million product aggregate, plus rental damage insurance for $100,000, plus stolen equipment coverage for $1,000, plus identity protection plan and an identity protection plan, as well as a free professional website, and that's only going to cost the professional $159 per year. Again, another steal. Another steal. This is amazing, actually. So to take advantage of this, you have to go online to Beauty, and I'll just spell it out for you, BEAUTYINSPLUS.com/PBA. Again, that's BEAUTYINSPLUS.com/PBA. And the phone number to call would be 800-956-0517. Again, that's 800-956-0517. You get immediate coverage and an instant certificate. And this one particular policy covers all cosmetology professionals, aesthetic professionals, nail techs, and barbers. Again, you have to be a member of PBA. So to find out more information about how to become a member of PBA, you can go to probeauty.org. Okay? Probeauty.org. All right. And let's see what's next. All right. going to try to bring my sister Denise on again to see if we were having problems hearing her. So we're going to try to get her on in a second. Again, that's probeauty.org for those who are interested in becoming a member of PBA. And for those who are current members, you have access to some great insurance. I know I'm covered. I have an insurance plan through my union, you know, but because I'm a part of a union doesn't mean I automatically get the insurance. I have to qualify for the insurance, and my qualification is based on number of days worked. So, you know, then that makes me eligible for the insurance plan, but I'm also a PBA member, and this particular insurance would definitely cover me professionally as a professional artist. It would cover me in my makeup studio for the services that I offer. So, and I mentioned both types of insurances because as a beauty professional, a lot of people aren't covered under any type of insurance. So if you own a salon or a spa, barbershop, et cetera, you definitely need some type of coverage, something that's going to cover you professionally. And then as a freelance makeup artist, I definitely need some type of health insurance or some type of health coverage. So let me see if I can bring my sister in. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yep, I sure can. Great to have you on the line finally.
Great to be here.
All right. What do you have?
Give me a few seconds, and I'm trying to bring that up now.
All right.
All right. That was crazy.
Yeah, that was. I don't know what. Yeah. That was really weird. Normally, I don't take her off of mute, but this time
right.
It wasn't my fault.
Well, that was funny because when you turned the show over to me the first time, I made a joke about you not taking me off mute, and then you couldn't actually hear me, so it wasn't that funny after all. So, all right, but we'll get it together here. Okay. All right, so let's talk a little bit about what's going on in the world of skincare. You know, I took a trip to Ulta and Sephora today, and you know, for those of you who know me, I love Korean beauty or K beauty as it's called. And but one thing that I didn't notice today is there's a thing going on. At least in Ulta, there is this whole global beauty now. It's you know, it's not just Korean beauty, but now it's a little focus on global beauty, and I think we're going to start to see that grow in the years to come, where the focus is not just on ingredients that are in Korean beauty products or the actual way that Koreans approach skincare. We're still going to see that, but things are going to be changing, I think, a little bit where that is concerned. Now, according to the Global Cosmetic Industry magazine, multicultural skincare is changing. Okay, so as we all know, beauty is more than skin deep. Often it's culture deep. According to the Euromonitor International, skincare continues to be the largest revenue generator in global beauty, dominating key markets of China, Indonesia, and North America. A report published by Allied Market Research forecasts that the global skincare product market will reach $179 billion by 2022. Let me repeat that. The AMR, which is the Allied Market Research, forecast that the global skincare products market will reach $179 billion by 2022. Okay, so that's basically with a growth rate of 4.7% from 2017 to 2022. Face creams, which lead overall revenue in the skincare market, will grow at a 4.9% during the same period. Okay. Meanwhile, the U.S. skincare market will reach nearly $11 billion by 2018. That's huge. As the skincare market grows, brands are tasking with ensuring consumers' desires are met, along with the skincare needs particular to each culture. By maintaining cultural sensitivity with each market and exceeding expectations when it comes to the product, brands are achieving uninterrupted success. Here's what the experts are saying on the horizon for multicultural niche skincare. One of the main things that I think, of course, is going to be on the rise, of course, and will continue are anti-aging products. So we see that often, and I think a lot of times when we think about anti-aging, we already think about the people who are aging using those
right.
products. And we think about people who are approaching, you know, the age of aging, and I'm doing air quotes. You know, people think it's for
older people.
Yeah, people think it's for older people. People think it's for women that are in their 60s, you know, their 50s, maybe people that are in their late 40s. But really, anti-aging, we may want to start taking some of those. Using some of those products, you know, in our 30s. And there are some cultures that are using those products as early as their 20s.
Rightfully so. It's anti-aging.
Yeah, rightfully so. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's preventative. So differences found in multicultural skin types are normally due to the differences in the levels of factors like stratum, corneum compactness, pigmentation levels, desquamation levels, moisturizing factors, and photoprotection. However, regardless of their ethnicity or cultural differences, all types of skin would like to see the improvement in factors like anti-wrinkle appearance, anti-brown blotch appearance, skin repair, aging reversal, moisturizing factors, and protection from harsh environmental aggression. So we're going to start seeing more targeted products. I think that's one of the things that I'm so fascinated with K-beauty is because, you know, you do see a lot of targeted products, and mainly you see products that will provide moisture, and more moisture in K-beauty. You know,
I'm sorry, not only moisture, but also hydration.
Yes. That's like the big focus. In K-beauty, this is kind of jumping the gun a little bit, but one of the things I wanted to talk about as far as K-beauty was concerned, of course, it's definitely growing in the United States, and we did a show, I believe it was last year or maybe the year before, on the whole Korean beauty thing, and we talked a lot about Korean beauty products, so you can go back and check out that that particular podcast in our archive shows. And, you know, some of the brands that we mentioned back then was Too Cool for School, Tony Moly, Belief, Time Revolution. So you'll see a lot of those products or some of those products in Ulta. You'll see some of those products in Sephora. You'll see some products in Target, Walmart. Now, Nordstrom has a huge K-beauty section. If you don't see it in store, you can definitely go online, and you will see a huge section of K-beauty products of all different brands. There are a bunch of new brands that they have that they're selling now online as well.
And it's crazy back when we did that show, those brands that you were naming weren't readily available in some of those stores, you're saying?
No, not at all. Because back then I was buying from Amazon. You know, there are quite a few places that have a nice selection of these products online. And with some of these products, you have to be very careful because, you know, people can claim to have these products and it could be packaged like these products, but it may not be the actual product, so you have to be very careful about where you purchase products from. But you know, they're out there. You have to search online for them. But soon you're not going to have to search online for most of this stuff. You'll be able to get it, pretty easily, just in your department stores or, like I said, Target, Walmart, Ulta and Sephora. But it's very interesting. I saw a brand today that had basically they were talking about getting a skincare routine, and this was a K-beauty brand, a skincare routine in 12 steps. And they had the 12 crossed off, and it said, I think it said like one step or maybe it was narrowed down to like two steps or something. But you know, the whole idea of K-beauty is layering your products. That was the big thing about K-beauty. It wasn't like buying a product that could do everything.
Right.
Because to me, if you buy a product that can do everything, it's not going to do everything well. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Whereas it wasn't necessarily that people were doing 12 steps in the whole K-beauty routine. It was more like 6 to 8 steps, 6 to 8 different products. You know, that could be 6 to 8 different products at night or 6 to 8 in the morning. You know, maybe in the morning it was 8 products, maybe at night it was only 6 products, you know, something like that. And most of the products were repeat from day to night. But it was just the process of layering the products so that you got the benefits of each thing. Like, you know, if you needed extra hydration, then maybe, you know, you would add this serum at night. Or, you know, during the morning you have your cleanser, your toner, your vitamin C, you know. Maybe you added another serum to that. Maybe you added a moisturizer, and then maybe you added your sunscreen, you know. And then at night, maybe you would do the same thing, except you would take out the sunscreen, replace your vitamin C with a different serum. You would add a sheet mask, you know, something like that. So...
Right.
Me personally, I can appreciate K-beauty. Mm-hmm. But to see it in the U.S. and then to see it almost watered down, I didn't like that.
Right.
Because I thought if one product could do all of that, then I think we would have had, you know, somebody would have developed that a long time ago. You know, your
right.
moisturizer cannot possibly be your cleanser. You know what I'm saying? So... I don't know. It just kind of disappointed me to see that from a K-beauty brand. So I don't think it should make it to the U.S. and then water itself down.
Right.
I would hate to see that.
Totally.
So now on to more K-beauty, because I love it so much. But because it really is becoming a big deal. And the funny thing about it is there are people out there who've been following this whole K-beauty routine for years now, so it's not a big deal to them. Maybe it's making things more accessible to them, but they're so used to buying things online and getting things shipped directly from Korea. So they're so used to how they get their products that they're not even paying attention to what we're finally doing here in the U.S. But I will say, now that some K-beauty brands are being introduced to the U.S., there are some really nice prestige brands that are here. But soon you're going to be seeing more in just, you know, general mass market as well in your stores like Target and your Walmart. So now that Korean beauty is getting lots of attention because of its elaborate steps and unusual product formats and ingredients, much of the K-beauty brands that have transitioned to the United States and other markets tend toward the prestige side of the market, which I was just saying. But Janice Kang, Director of Marketing and New Business Development, and Sun Young Lee, Director of Purchasing for Club Clio of DK Cosmetics, say that mass in Korea is eye-catching, offering playful packaging that captures consumer excitement, especially specifically this dynamic that DK Cosmetics and its sub-brands seek to bring to the United States and beyond. And if you kind of research a lot of the K-beauty brands, you will see some of the packaging on some of the brands. It is very playful. It is eye-catching. And so that's what they're trying to bring to the U.S. more so in the mass market. Your prestige side of the business, you will still have your things like Time Revolution, if that ever really makes it to the U.S., Misha. You have oh gosh, you have belief. That's not necessarily, that's more on the prestige side. There's so many others. And you have some brands that are not from Korea, but actually from Japan, like the Tatcha. Those brands, you know, you won't see in mass market. You won't see those brands in Target or Walmart. But they'll, you know, of course they're in Sephora now, but you'll also, you know, see those in the department stores.
Right.
But, you know, they're making K-beauty a little more discoverable now. So, again, like I said, Target, Ulta, Walmart, and like I said, where I was buying them, I was buying it from Amazon, still buying it from Amazon. So there are more places that you can actually get it now. Some things are, you know, not expensive at all, and some things are a little pricier, but those are the more prestige items that will be pricier. So, you know, you just have to go online and do your research and figure out what it is that you need for your skin. And, you know, again, like I said, you can purchase from Amazon, and there are plenty of other places where you can actually get the products, which I really love. Because for me, I need moisture. I need it more and more now. People don't realize how your skin can dry out, of course, when you have heat on in your house, when you have the air conditioning on in your house, it can suck you dry a little bit. So, you know, I tend to over-moisturize, and the older I get, it doesn't really hurt anyway. So go online and check out K-Beauty.
Yeah, I mean, you are obsessed with it.
I really am. Let me just give you all a website that you can check out some K-Beauty products, and it's, you know, it's a reputable site, and that's SoKo Glam, is SOKOGlam.com. You know, SoKo is short for South Korea. SoKOGlam.com. It's got some of the best products on there.
All right. I love it. You know, this is a topic that I wanted to kind of mention and bring up. It's not beauty news, but, you know, it'll help us in the beauty industry if we are a beauty professional that provides a service, you know, and we're all in one way or another we're somebody's client or we're a consumer of product, you know. So we all may have faced this situation before at one time or another. Okay, I just want to know your thoughts on this particular situation. You know, you see this with hairstyles a lot of times, you know, and of course when you're booking an appointment, like let's say at a day spa or something, they'll require your credit card, not that it's going to be charged, but it'll be charged if you don't show up or if you cancel past the cancellation period or what have you. And I'm just wondering, like, as a consumer or someone's client, how do you feel about this? Because, you know, when you're booked for service and you are on your way to the service and you're running behind by, like, you know, a few minutes, and you want to call to let them know that, you know, you're on your way, you're almost there, you'll be there in 5 minutes or what have you, whatever the situation is. But you call, and they say that the person that's supposed to be giving you a service or providing the service is sick, and you can't be serviced that day. How do you feel about that when it's the policy of the hairstylist or the day spa that if you're going to cancel, you have to cancel within 24 hours, or you know, or if you're a no-show, they will your credit card will be charged if you're a no-show. But there are no rules for the flip side of it all. Okay, I show up. you know, I show up and I'm not going to be provided a service today for whatever the reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or you took my money when I made the appointment, you took my money, you swiped my card, and now, you know, now you're telling me, or you put a hold on my card rather, and now you're telling me that I'm not being provided a service. So here it is. Let's just say it's Saturday. Let's say you made the last appointment for the day on a Saturday, and so now that you find out you're not being able to provide being provided a service, you're trying to call around town to get service with someone, and now kind of here it is Saturday afternoon, early evening, everyone's finishing up for the day, their books are already full, you can't get an appointment. Or it's on a, or even worse, on a Sunday where your appointments are very limited, if there's a place open. What do you think about that? Like, you know, as someone who makes visits to day spas or hair salons, you know, if there's no rule for what happens when they don't show up, or they don't, you know, they don't show up, or they don't, they get sick, or whatever the situation may be. How do we turn back around and say, hey, well, you know, you did this. What should you have to do?
Wow. Well, you know, first of all, if a client, you know, this is the thing. If the client knows ahead of time that if they cancel that they're going to be charged, then so be it, okay? But if the client takes every step to make the appointment and they're on their way to the appointment and something happens, like let's just say, I don't know, the client had an emergency or something, and, you know, then, of course, if they call the stylist and say, you know, I had an emergency, can I reschedule, then, you know, I don't think the client's card should be charged and, you know, the client should not be penalized, okay? But if they call and the stylist has something, if they call and just say, I'm running a little bit behind, I'll be there probably 5 minutes later, and because, of course, you know, there's normally a grace period. But if the mm-hmm. stylist says, you know, if the stylist comes up and says, oh, I'm sick, or, you know, I don't know, something like I needed some sleep and I can do your hair a little later, something like that, then, you know, I don't know that there's a way to penalize the stylist because she or he is providing the service. But I guess the best way to penalize the stylist is to find somebody else to do your hair. You would think there should be some rule to the flip side of that. Like, if for some reason the stylist cancels on you, then the stylist should discount your service the next time. I mean, something. Right. There should be some, you know.
Okay, but
something.
See, I think what I have problems with is, okay, so you tell me, okay, you have to cancel on me. But, okay, and you're going to discount my service during my next appointment, but that doesn't do anything for me right now.
Right now, yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of, because on the flip side, if I was canceling on at the last minute on the salon or the stylist, they're going to get some type of fee automatically. And that's going to make them
mm-hmm.
feel better about the situation because, you know, truth be told, you know, they're like, oh, I could have booked somebody, you know, in that space or what have you. Yeah, maybe they could, you know, could have. But they're going to get some type of compensation for it. Whereas
right.
I'm just going to, you know, if they cancel on me, I'm just out.
Right.
So I would really love to know what, you know, what other people thought about that. You know, and I would love it, especially if there was someone who actually was able to get something out of that, where a stylist canceled at the last minute. See, I feel like if you're going to a day spa, I think, and I know that might not have been a great example, but if you're going to a day spa, for instance, and let's say you're going to, you know, get your nails done, or even there for a massage or a facial, depending on the size of the spa, they're going to have more than one nail tech. They're going to have more than one massage therapist. They may have more than one esthetician. So, you know, if your esthetician calls at the last minute, she has to cancel, a lot of times they're going to try to put you in with someone else. It may be a wait, but you can still get in that day. So that's all fine and good. But if you are dealing, if you have someone who provides massages and they're just a one-person business or a hairstylist who's just a one-person business, then that's when the real issues come in with the cancellations, because there is nobody there to set you up with. And I
right.
think that's where I see a problem. It would just be interesting to hear other people's thoughts on that one. Mm-hmm. And I would love to know if that has even happened to anyone else. It'd just be interesting.
Yeah, because you know, a lot of times you have stylists or salons that'll post in their salon that, you know, if you're, you know, they'll give you a grace period, and you know, after that time, you know, if you're late, they're going to charge you, you know, like a $25 fee or something like that. But what if it's the flip side? What if your stylist is late? Then, you know, then do you get to charge your stylist? Or should they be required to give you $25 off your service?
Right. I don't know. It's really interesting. It's really interesting. Because, I don't know, for me, a discount, you know, at the next service, yeah, that's great, but it doesn't do anything for the right now. And what if you were, you know, trying to get your hair done, you're looking crazy, and you have a big meeting the next day or something big happening the next day, and your hair is in a mess because, oh, you were going to the salon, you know, you had an appointment. And this is what gets me. A lot of times they, like, for instance, if you use a service, and I like some day spas or what have you or salons will do this using their own, you know, service, or, you know, somebody who works for them will do it. But also, like, if you're booking through StyleSeat, they will, if that's what you have as your plan, they will automatically send out. But you always get, like, some type of reminder via text message or email or a phone call saying just confirming your appointment. You know, they go through all of that. They go through all of that, and then the day of, something comes up. That's just, you know, that's my big concern is how do you deal with it?
Right. That's definitely, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's something that the stylist and the client have to agree upon when you start that, you know, you start that client-stylist relationship. I'm not, you know, if that's something that the salon or the stylist doesn't have posted or doesn't make clear from the very beginning,
mm-hmm.
or like if you're booking through StyleSeat or one of those booking services, then that if that's not made clear, then that's something that you have to discuss from the very beginning, because it happens. It happens a lot to people, you know, where it's not the client that's late, but it's the stylist that's late. So, you know, how is the client, you know, compensated for that?
Mhm. Now let me. I just sat here because I'm interested in finding out if it has happened to anyone else and how they handled it, what have you. And I just kind of like Googled something. I want to read a little bit of this to see what you guys think. And let me just go back really quickly. First, when I started talking about this, and I'm only saying because this has happened to me before, But I mentioned it because, but I did, I failed to say this part. When the stylist calls and says that, you know, they're sick or whatever and they can't service you, but it's really bad to me when they call you literally like while you're on your way there, or, you know what I mean, or 10 minutes before you're supposed to be serviced, you know, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. But let me just, that's the reason why I mentioned it, because it's really last minute. But let me read this. And this was posted 6 months ago. So this person said, this is just a silly rant, but a privileged first world problem. She says her hairstylist slash colorist has canceled on her twice within 1 year, and both times was less than an hour's notice of the appointment, with nothing offered other than a sheepish apology from the receptionist. She says, I want to guess this has happened to almost everyone, although surprisingly for me, this is the first stylist I've ever had who's done this, so I was a little taken aback by the way they handle it. My hairdresser is not some celebrity stylist or whatever, but she's also the owner of the salon. So that tells me that she doesn't handle business well. But anyway, the first time it happened, the receptionist called me 45 minutes before my appointment saying she was sick with a bad cold. Fine, it happens, no worries. The second time, I got a call literally 10 minutes before my appointment. As I was getting off the train and walking to the salon, the receptionist said the stylist had a family emergency. I still showed up to the salon to talk to them in person about it and see if anyone else could squeeze me in that day. They couldn't, because one, it was a pain. To commute to get there, and two, I wanted to get my hair done before I left for a big trip. The receptionist told me that the stylist had to drive her husband to the hospital. That's unfortunate, and I felt terrible for her. I hoped her husband was going to be okay, and I felt guilty about feeling frustrated because I know things happen all the time. All right, let me move down a little bit. And then it says, like, obviously, I could never expect someone in a real crisis situation to worry about some client, and they rightly shouldn't. What irks me about this situation is this. Like many businesses, the salon charges 50% of the services scheduled if the client doesn't cancel within 24 hours of the appointment. Same thing I'm talking about. So say if I run a fever the morning of my appointment, or my kid breaks their arm at school that day, I still have to pay upwards of $150. And I think their service is like total of $375, but they're paying $150, 50%. And I want to consider that fair, because it doesn't matter the reason, my fault or out of my control, et cetera. I missed the appointment. They reserved that time for me. I didn't show, and they lost revenue. On the flip side, though, it seems like the client has no rights in this regard other than, fine, I'll take my money elsewhere, and boycotting that style salon altogether, which pains me because I really like this stylist's work and feel like there should be a solution before going the boycott route. When I talked to the receptionist the second time, I half-jokingly asked if I could get a discount on services on my next visit, and she just looked really embarrassed and said, well, I guess you can pick out a free product. Thanks, a $15 bottle of shampoo versus the $150 you guys get if I cancel last minute. This certainly compensates me for my time getting here, how I planned around this appointment and booked it 5 months in advance for this trip, and the stylist is booked solid and won't offer to accommodate me somehow, et cetera. And while one could argue that it's not costing me as much money as it would for the salon for broken appointments, ultimately, you never know how much trouble or coordination people go through to give someone their business, and it boils down to feeling like your time isn't respected at all, and they feel no need to make it right for the customer just as a reasonable business practice. See, that's the issue that I have right there. Let me read the rest. Let's see. For example, I could imagine a busy mom jumping through a ton of scheduling hoops to make and show up to their appointments, and if I had to, say, pay extra for a nanny to stay longer or daycare late fees to get to this appointment on time, only to be flaked on last minute with no recourse, I would even more be upset. If you've been in a similar situation, how did you handle it? Were you ever able to negotiate anything beyond a, yeah, we're really sorry, K, thanks, bye, type of apology for it? This is exactly what I'm talking about. There is nothing in place for that flip side. You know, you just lose
right.
out totally, you know, totally. You know, and
right,
some people will offer to discount the service the next time. Some people won't. Some people
yeah.
won't. And you're just out of luck. That's exactly
yeah, it's,
what
I'm
talking about.
Yeah. Like I said, it's something you probably have to work out with your stylist from the very beginning. And of course, I can't imagine a stylist, you know, wanting to compensate the client for such a thing, because they don't expect anything like that to happen. But let me just say, if you're, you know, if you have, like if a stylist is working for a salon, okay, I can see it being a little more of a professional situation, because you're in the salon. If that stylist is not there, I can just imagine that there's somebody there, shampoo assistant, another stylist who doesn't have any appointments at the moment, who could possibly take that client and get them started. You know what I mean? Or who could also call that stylist to see, you know, where he or she is, if they're running behind, what's going on, so that basically they can inform the client. And when that happens, then, you know, your stylist would pretty much tell or could easily call the salon and to ask another stylist to kind of start you for them. Or, you know, at least get you shampooed, you know, at least make sure you're comfortable, get you something to drink, you know, something. If it's a stylist who's working, let's just say, in a salon suite, you know, they have their own space and it's just them, then I can see things being a little more unprofessional. You know what I mean? Because
mm-hmm.
it's just them and you just have to wait if you want your hair done. So I can see them not being so accommodating, but I can see if they worked in a salon, then I think that salon, because the salon doesn't want to have the reputation of, you know, stylists showing up late and things like that, I think you would be accommodated, you know, in some kind of way, like, you know, where you don't, because I remember that happening to me in a salon. Like, if my stylist is running late, you know, she would call the salon and let them know that she's running late, and somebody would start me, a shampoo assistant, because she had a shampoo assistant. So the shampoo assistant would start me and set me under a cool dryer, and then, you know, I would wait for the stylist to show up, because that was always the process anyway. Shampoo
right.
me, sit me under a cool dryer, and then wait for the stylist if she wasn't already there. And, I mean, I would wait, like, maybe 5 minutes, something like that. So, because
well,
normally I always had early appointments, so that, of course, you know, I was waiting. But it was never, like,
right.
if I were to come in the middle of the day, she's already there.
Well, I would agree that for the situation similar to what I just read and what I was talking about earlier, I would agree that if they're in a salon-type situation or a day spa or something like that, or some facility where there's more than one beauty professional, I would definitely think that if your stylist wasn't going to be able to do it, before the receptionist gave you a call, that they would have tried to do something to accommodate you in some way. Go and see if, you know, if we can squeeze this person in with someone else, you know, or maybe, you know, maybe everyone else is booked and really don't have time to take another client, but, well, maybe somebody could make time to shampoo the person, you know, and then somebody else could do a next step. You know what I mean? Like, I can't remember what this person was saying they were getting done. But, you know, if you had, she called the person her stylist and colorist. So maybe if someone could bring her in and shampoo her, or somebody else could color, you know, color her, and then somebody else can squeeze in time to, you know, do the styling, that would be fine. You know, or somebody, like you were saying, shampoo assistant, and you would be waiting under the dryer, what have you. If somebody could, you know, take the time to bring you in and do the first steps, and somebody else could take the time to do something else, that would be fine, I would think. You know, figuring out a way of how to get the client in here and keep them happy. Versus just calling, she's not going to make it, what have you. Now, if it's a situation where they've gone through all of that and they just can't do anything, you know, when you call the client and say, hey, this is what's happened, and we tried to get you in with, you know, all these other people, but we just can't do it.
On our on our Beauty Talk BBM page, Sharantina Brightman left a comment, and she says, it's risk management, just like insurance. You pay insurance in case something happens. If nothing happens, you just lose your money.
You know what? That's a great point. That's a great point. That's a great point. But, you know, the thing about that, though, is if nothing happens and, okay, you spent this money, but you don't feel bad about it because you know that this is money for just in case something happens, you know. And if something happens, I'm covered. There's something, you know, having that money, spending that money for the comfort of being covered if something happens. But with this salon situation, you know, it's not like you're paying up front a whole bunch of money. You may pay for the service. Matter of fact, it's not even paying for the service up front. It's they have my card, and if something happens and I don't show, then they get money. It's almost like a prize for them. You know what I mean? But you get nothing out of it. That's the big difference. You don't get anything out of it, and they get your money. Whereas with the insurance, they get your money, but if something happens, you're covered. It's like a win-win there. And if nothing happens, yeah, they have your money, but you feel comfortable in knowing that if something did happen, you would be covered.
Right.
You know, so, but you're right. I mean, it's a risk. I just wish that there was something that could be done. You know, because at this point, when they cancel on you at the last minute, all you can think of is, oh, my God, I need my service. You know? No, I mean, if it's just something simple, like, well, personally for me, if you canceled out on me at the last minute for a nail service, I'm not going to be so upset. But if you're canceling out on me, you know what I mean? For a hair appointment, trust and believe, if I made that appointment, I need that appointment. So
exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, so if you're canceling.
Like Shantina's commenting on BBM, she says, hair is too important. It is.
Yeah,
I mean,
it really
you
is.
Know, that's when you look at your face, when you look at someone's face, you see their hair.
Right.
So when you look at somebody's face, you don't necessarily see their nails. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You see their hair, so it makes a huge difference. It makes a huge difference. So,
absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, that's that's a little tricky there. I mean, because if all else fails, you can do your own nails. You know.
Yep. Exactly.
And some people, for the most part, they can do their own hair. But you know. Sometimes you don't want to.
Right. Well, you know, I believe the example that I read, it was a situation where the person, I think she was getting her, wanted that appointment because she was getting her hair colored for her upcoming wedding. But for myself, when situations like that happen, again, like I said, If I made a hair appointment, I needed the hair appointment. So I don't know. I just wish that there was a way that it could be a win-win situation.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean that's something you could talk about forever. But I just feel like stylists, salon owners, beauty professionals should think about that kind of thing, and just put something in place, you know. And I mean, if the only thing they can do is offer a discount or a free service, like I said, you know, it'll be okay for the person for the next time they come, but it really doesn't do anything for the right now moment. But whatever they could do, I guess, would be helpful.
Right.
So, but yeah, just wanted to bring that up and mention that that was something that happened to me recently, and I just kind of wanted to see what people thought about that. Very interesting. Very, very interesting. So, that's all I have for now.
Yes, and I know that the Makeup Show Orlando was this weekend, so I would hope to hear from some people who attended that show to let us know how everything went. You know, what you liked about the show, if you didn't like anything, what you didn't like, what the education was like, you know, what new products you picked up. So all of that would be good to hear.
I know one thing, it was nice and sunny and warm. A couple people were laying by the pool.
Yeah.
I know Stephanie from Mayron was laying by the pool, and she was like, she's been doing that show for 10 years now and have never paid any attention to the pool.
Oh, yes.
Like, didn't even know the pool. And they have a fabulous pool at that hotel where they normally have that show.
That was the first thing I noticed about that hotel the time I went to the makeup show Orlando was the pool.
Yeah, me too. Gorgeous.
Gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous.
It would be interesting to see. Maybe I'll hit her up sometime this week and see what took place and, you know, some interesting finds at the show. So if you went to the makeup show Orlando this past weekend, please give us a call or hit us up on Facebook or email us at beautygirlsmedia@gmail.com and share with us, what you did, what you bought. You know, always love that part.
Right.
New products. So let us know what happened and how you enjoyed the show. But until then, we thank you guys for tuning in tonight. We have an extremely early call time tomorrow, 4:12 a.m., I believe. Something crazy. Like, we may as well just stay up, huh?
No.
No, right. So, but anyway, we have a very early call time tomorrow, so we're going to not go over too far on our time tonight. But again, thank you for your continued support. Thank you for those who tuned in. Glad some of you tuned in a little late because we were having some technical issues trying to get the show started tonight. But we made it on, and that's all that's important. So, again, thank you for tuning in. Is that J.K. Hunter listening in? I believe so. I'm not sure. Thank you, Sharon Tina, for your comments. And for always tuning in, thank you for your support. And thank you. There's someone who always listens in on the line from Texas. I do not know who it is, but thank you for always tuning in. And we'll be back again next week. And last week we had a young lady on, Buffy. She was talking about taxes, and she expressed interest in coming back to talk about savings. We got a little bit into savings last week, and she wanted to come back and do a show on savings. So, excuse me, we will try to get her back on in April. We have another guest booked for next Sunday, and then the following Sunday after that, we are on vacation. And then maybe we'll try to get Buffy on sometime after that to come in and talk about savings. That's something that a lot of artists don't really pay attention to, you know, savings and 401ks and IRAs and things like that. We need to pay attention to that kind of thing. You know, we're not working at jobs that say, hey, join the 401k plan and all that kind of thing. So we have to think about these things ourselves and take steps toward saving for our future. Okay, so we will definitely get her back on to share some information about that. And hold on 1 second. I think we got somebody here. Let's see. Trying to bring on. Here we go. Hello.
Hi, ladies. It's JK.
Hey, JK.
Hi, JK.
How y'all doing?
Good.
Good.
I thought that was your number.
That's me. I have a flu, so I don't want to start coughing on you. But,
don't spread it through the phone line.
Say hi.
Right. Don't spread it through the phone line.
Right. Right. My niece came over here and spread it to me.
Oh, gosh.
Yes, yeah, we work with children.
We won't hold you long talking like that, but what's going on in your beauty world?
Not a lot. I've just been doing some small gigs here and there. It's time for me to get back to work, come back to Atlanta and get back to work. So, but, you know, just some individual. I did a thing with Southwest Airlines that I think they do every year when they come. I do a president and CEO, COO.
Oh, nice.
Oh, nice.
Got that through Derek Rutledge.
Okay.
So some basic gigs that, you know, people come in Nashville to do, but I don't know, you know, hit it back, go back to Atlanta since I'm an empty nester now.
Okay.
Sounds my child
good.
Is in college.
Nice. Oh, I've seen that.
Yeah.
So you can move around a little bit.
Exactly, without having to worry about what I'm going to do with her and where she's going to go. So I'll
that's,
be calling
you know,
all.
And that's something that a lot of, you know, makeup artists and hairstylists who particularly work in the film and TV industry don't think about before they actually start working in film and TV. They're not thinking about, you know, what am I going to do with my kid if I have to go out of town and work and all that kind of stuff. So it's definitely something people should be considering.
It's a major consideration, you know, to have a child, have child or children, and do this job, which is why, I mean, I've worked some over holidays and over Christmas, I mean, spring break and, you know, summer breaks and stuff, coming, going out of town, doing some stuff, but it's been difficult for 18 years doing that. So it's a difficult life, and if you don't want to just drop your child off to just anybody,
right?
That's
right.
That's the real deal, and I didn't. I sacrificed a lot so that I didn't drop her off just anywhere with anybody.
And see, the great thing about that is, now that it's all said and done, you have no regrets.
None. I sure don't, because I know my baby was safe. She didn't have anything major crazy happen to her at anybody's house because I left her with any and everybody. And she was raised well, and now she's at Ivy League school, and I can be happy and proud all in the same breath.
Yep. So
you're
right. There it is. Exactly.
Yep.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's some people who sacrifice their relationship with their kids chasing their career. So.
Yes. And I just was not going to do that with her father in Connecticut, even though she has a wonderful relationship with him and sees him all the time. I could not still sacrifice, you know, doing it. And my parents were 2 hours away. So, and they helped as much as they could. My mom has. And my father's passed now. So they helped as much as they could back and forth. We meet in between Nashville and Jackson, Tennessee, halfway and exchange her, but I just could not drop her off just anywhere. And I had many people ask me, like, where is she? Because people are so used to seeing her with me all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I have to let them know that,
now.
Yes, She grown now. Right, yeah. She was still being a little baby. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She went to photo shoots with me when she could, you know. And but since she's been around all of what we do, she's not crazy in regards to it. She's just used to seeing celebrities and hi, how you doing? And going on about up in.
Right. Oh. Right.
And she's a great makeup artist. Should check out some of her YouTube videos.
yes. I've been trying to get her to do more videos. She's in Miami right now, and I keep trying to get her to do videos where she's somewhere on location, visited, traveling with her father, doing something, but she didn't want to take a camera with her, so I told her I understood that.
No, she's in New York. Which school is she at in New York?
She's at Pace University.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Great.
Which, you know, a lot of people across country don't know what Pace is, but people know what
Pace
is.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah. And Pace is a major school. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And actually, I Googled it and I looked up, I found an article on the most slept on schools in the country, and the number one school was Pace University.
Wow.
So. Yeah, I didn't know that myself. I just knew what Pace was and that the Actors Studio television show is done from Pace University.
Oh, okay.
I forgot what channel, TBS, TNT, one of those channels. That show was done out of Pace University. Always has been from the sounds of it.
Hmm.
So, yeah, that's where she is. She's loving it.
Nice.
What's her major?
Arts and Entertainment Management.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So she's leaning towards the business side of it, even though she's singing, plays viola. And y'all know she got injured, so she was going for a ballet scholarship, trying to go to Juilliard, but she ended up not being able to do that.
Right.
So she had to have surgery. So she ended up just sticking with the business side of it.
Nothing wrong with that.
Right.
She's in New York City.
Yes. Loving it. She's been going ever since she was three.
I'm sure.
Yeah. And most people are like, I don't understand why you let her go so far. Because I'm not trying to hold her back.
Right.
A lot of parents don't get that, don't grasp that. You can't hold your child back. And stop them from doing what they need to do, going wherever they need to go. I don't have time for that. She's just a flight away.
And if you raise them well, then, you know, they're going
to
do what they need to do.
You don't have to worry about exactly. Amen. You don't have to get concerned about what they're going to do, who's going to do. She knows. We don't do all that craziness. We don't do drugs, a whole bunch of drinking. She sees, and they've already had some guy that was raped a young lady in the dorm in New York, and that girl was drunk. That's no excuse, but I told her that's just why you can't be around drunk, be drinking, and she doesn't drink anyway. So I had to remind her going to Miami that she's grown now, so you can be arrested. So. Don't let your friends drink too crazy. I know you don't, but try to control your friends and tell them to chill out.
That's true.
Yeah.
And you know, and when you think about it, we can relate this to us as creatives, us as, you know, makeup and hairstylists and all that as well. Because think about it, you know, when you work on a production and they have rap parties and stuff. And you know how people are when you go to these rap parties and the production has laid it all out, free food, free alcohol all night. You know, some people use that as an opportunity to get drunk because they know the alcohol is free. And they're going to sit there and drink it until they can't drink it anymore, until they say, you know, that the bar is closed.
As if you never had a damn free drink.
As if you never had a drink before. Right. And that's the thing. People, you know, we have to realize that although we're at a rap party, we're still at this party with producers, you know what I'm saying, directors.
It's still
matter. It's still business. It doesn't matter if they're drunk. It does not matter.
But you know what? Take it another step further.
What about those people who are on set, an actual film and television set, and it's a Friday night, the end of our week, and they want to put some alcohol in a cup, make you think they're drinking coffee or something like that, and it's alcohol. Drinking on the job.
Yeah.
That's not professional. It's not acceptable. And where do they do that at, really?
When I was on the game, one of the guys from the game, his rap gift was Ciroc. And that was nice. I appreciate it. However, I'm not going to take shots with you. First of all, I don't do shots in the first place. That's not part of my lifestyle. That's not what I do.
That's the quickest way to get drunk.
Quickest way. And I'm not doing it because we're sitting in the trailer, still on set, at base camp. So I'm not doing it. It's not happening. I don't drink wine at anybody's gig. I don't even like makeup get-togethers where they have wine. Because how exactly are you going to learn to do your makeup and you getting lit? That doesn't really make any sense to me.
Right.
Yeah. Y'all know how I am. It just doesn't make any sense to me. I don't get it. So I'm definitely not going to drink on the set of anything. I don't care if it's a low-budget, you know, photo shoot, local. I'm not drinking.
Right.
To do what? That doesn't make any sense. And, you know, as a stylist, we always have to watch somebody liking us, somebody's interested in us, somebody wants to talk to us on set. And if you put a little liquor into you, then who knows what could happen.
Yep.
You know, you just don't know. That goes back to Denise and I worked on that first thing for BET, and they wanted me to hang out with them. Remember that, Denise? They wanted me to hang out, wanted me to go out. Well, I don't drink. I have never smoked. I can honestly say that. So I can't go out with y'all and drink and smoke. I got asthma, so I can't be around you smoking anyway.
Right.
Yeah, you talking about taking me? If y'all just smoke a cigarette, I'll mess around and be sick and have bronchitis the next day. I can't do that. So why would I go hang out with you and do any of that? So no, we have to be something what we're doing.
But you bring up a good point. I know we just turned this show into something totally different, but that's okay because we were in the talk on beauty news, so that's fine. But you have to think about a lot of times people, even as makeup artists, some people are so new to the game that they're fascinated by the fact that the actor is interested in them, that the actor wants to talk to them, that, you know, the actor is being friendly with them, that they will do absolutely anything. And just because the actor is being friendly with you and speaking to you and talking to you and including you in their conversations and want to include you in, you know, whatever activities they partake in on the weekend or during after work, that doesn't mean that you're supposed to be hanging out with them.
No. Going into their trailer, closing the door. No, ma'am, not me. That's what you're not going to find. You're not going to get me. That's not going to happen. I'm not going to be the joke on set because we all know that those people are also the joke on set. Everybody's talking about
it. Of course.
I can't do it. And I've had the opportunity for some really fine ones, too. But I cannot. Yeah, especially when I know you're just playing. It would be different if you were talking about trying to get with a relationship. Half of them are married most of the time.
Yeah.
Trying to yell at the hair and the makeup folks because, you know, they're cute, they're fine. They got their hair together, they got their makeup together. That's how we look. That's what we do. You know, but don't take that to mean that we're available. This is not Tinder.
That's right.
We're not connected just because we on set, just because, you know, it's a limited amount of people around and this is who you see every day. No, I can't do it. I've never done it. Thank God I can say that because it's just never been of interest to me to get with anybody on set. They never talk about nothing. They just playing. If I want to play, I play on my rules and my terms, not on set.
But, you know, one thing you have to think about, these actors, you know, they talk a good game and, you know, they might smile on your face and might give you a hug every day and may make you think that they're interested in you. And you know, yes. And if you're, you know, if you're naive and very immature, that then you will definitely fall for a lot of that. But most of them, they're just here in your town or wherever you are for a moment. They're on this project until the project ends, and once that project ends, they will forget all about you.
Who? Like who? You can tweet to them and they act like they don't know who you are, and they just left town the day before. Yeah.
Yep.
There's no need messing with them. And you have to remember they're actors. So they know how to act like they like you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Act like you're the best thing since the sun and the moon and the stars.
Mm-hmm.
And that does not mean that they want anything out of you other than one thing.
Mm-hmm.
I had a guy on set tell me just because we were in another country doing a gig that he was going to get me, I might as well give it up. And this was a crew member. He was going to get me, I might as well give it up because the rest I'm going to give it up to. I said, well, what does that have to do with me? That got nothing to do with me. I don't care how many of them you get. You're not going to get me. I guarantee you that one. And I didn't. You ain't that fine. Y'all know him. I tell y'all about him.
You know what though? Some of the things that you're saying, that's definitely a conversation we need to hit on on another night. Basically, how to handle yourself on set and all the different situations that will come up. You know,
that's a good topic. Photo shoot, video shoot,
film or television. You know, anything.
Mm-hmm.
You definitely have to know how to carry
yourself. The bad and the ugly.
That's right.
Yeah. And controversy, because y'all know about controversy.
Yeah.
I had on one show, more than one, of people constantly messing with you, saying stuff to you, doing stuff to you. It's always somebody wanting to stop you from shining. I just had to tell another guy about a gig. He works in business, and a meeting he had in New York, and this white man said to him, are any of your friends being lynched down there in Tennessee? And he said it caught him so off guard. He didn't say anything. I said, exactly. In one sense, everybody would be like, yeah, you should have got him. But in another sense, you have to remember that you're in business. You're at a business meeting. You have a family to feed. And not to address that, because more than likely he wants your business from that company.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to know how to handle yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you could come with a little something slick to say. Maybe.
Right.
But you don't jeopardize your business.
Right.
Never jeopardize your business. I don't care who it is that's after you to say something, you get ugly, what you want to check you. Doesn't make any sense. You just have to stay calm and let it pass. And usually it does. And it doesn't mean you're going to get fired. Because I've had things happen twice. I didn't get fired. Twice that I can think of, and I didn't get fired because I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything for the person to go off and act crazy, and I didn't respond crazy.
Right.
You have to always be mindful of yourself. Right.
That's key. So we're going to definitely.
And respectful of who hired you.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. For sure. Somebody hired you to be on this gig, you don't start acting a fool. And a donkey just because somebody said something crazy to you.
And a lot of people do, but we're definitely going to address that on an upcoming show, probably in April when we come back from vacation, because I think that's going to be a good thing. You might have to make yourself available, JK. We might have a couple guests on to share some of their stories, but I think that's going to be good for sure.
All right.
Good catching
well,
up.
You get
love
some
y'all.
Rest.
All right.
Too.
Okay. Talk to y'all later.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Thank you guys for tuning in with us tonight. It's been a great show. I'm glad JK called in and shared some information. That just turned into a whole nother topic. And we'll definitely be addressing
that
some of those things. Yeah, it really was. There's so many things that, you know, we've all experienced and things that we know other people have experienced that we could really talk about and just share with people. And it doesn't necessarily only happen on film and television sets, but, you know, photo shoots, just in general, in the beauty industry in general. So we're going to talk about that, and we're going to put together a show to bring sometime in April and share a little story. But again, in the meantime,
that was so on time.
Definitely. We'll be back next Sunday night with our guest, and then again the following Sunday on vacation. So thank you guys for tuning in and supporting us, and we will see you guys, or not see you, but actually talk to you guys again next week. So have a wonderful night and have a beautiful and blessed week. Good night, everybody.
Good night.